This is Susan DeBrock, tell you right, Inside and Out, speaking with award-winning documentary photographer Matt Black. He'll be in town for the 35th Annual Mountain Film Festival. His work, called After the Fall, part of a series called People of the Clouds, will be on display at La Cocina de Luz. Matt, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Susan.
So, when you were a boy, what tripped your interest in photography?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, actually, because my family hardly took pictures at all. In fact, I don't even think we had a camera. And all the family pictures we have were taken by, aunts and uncles and things like that. So I don't know where that interest was sparked, but probably somewhere in there's something that initiated the interest in cameras and photography and all that stuff.
So that was a latent gene that just got tweaked at some point in your life.
Maybe so. Skipped a generation or something.
So at what point did it get tweaked? At what point did you pick up a camera and start shooting?
Pretty young. Early teenage years, kind of just interested, got a camera and took some classes. And then I started working as a photographer. The local newspaper wanted someone to be their film processor. And I knew a little bit how to do it, so I started working there. I was about 16. And that's where I learned the craft of this kind of black and white documentary photography. That's the kind of photography that was being done back then in newspapers. And that's essentially the very same technique and cameras and film and lenses that I continue to use to this day.
Are you self-taught, or have you received formal training? And what sorts of cameras do you tend to use?
The training really I received was right there in the dark room of that newspaper. There was these longtime photographers there who showed me all these techniques and tricks they used for pushing their film and pulling their film and working quickly under deadline and all this kind of stuff. So kind of the journalism trajectory of me and photography started right there at the very beginning. And it's essentially just what I've stuck with now on my own, of course, ever since then.
Okay. And the question about equipment, what do you tend to use?
Oh, I use SLR cameras, some rangefinders, but mainly SLRs, Nikons.
Okay.
And black and white.
What triggered your interest in the, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, Mixteca culture?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
correct.
Made you decide to explore the culture of a people being discriminated against domestically by other Spanish-speaking Mexicans and whites?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the story. But the kind of the discrimination, at least, that part of it, I first saw that here where I live, which is Central Valley, California, the big agricultural area in the heart of the state. Mm-hmm. And in the late 90s, I started noticing, this new type of migrant that was coming in to pick the crops. And I was just kind of, I was blown away by what was happening. I was, seeing these people who didn't speak Spanish, who were kind of quite obviously culturally distinct from the kind of migrant that I'd grown to expect to see. And, as I learned more, it became more and more fascinating. And then since that time, this migration has just exploded. I mean, since I first went to the Mixteca, which is in the year 2000, till today, it's essentially sevenfold where we began.
Mm.
So I've really, and it was just, by virtue of timing, I've really kind of witnessed as this migration, this mass migration has occurred. And it's been an amazing thing to see and photograph and record. California alone, there are now nearly 500,000 Mixtecs.
Wow.
Mixtecs have become the state's largest indigenous group, larger than any Native American tribe.
Wow.
So, this is historic in many, many dimensions, what's occurring.
I'm sorry to have interrupted you before when you were answering this, but can you talk a little bit about the history of the Mixteca and what caused the erosion of their land and culture? And do you see parallels to what's happening to them out of the Dust Bowl? I realize there's some very key differences. Cultures weren't forced to migrate, but Talk about the parallels with the Dust Bowl, but really more specifically about the erosion of land and culture.
Well, the echoes with the Dust Bowl are profound, particularly, you know, kind of from where this project started, which is the Central Valley of California, which, of course, was the destination for so many of the Dust Bowl migrants. So, you know, that's really where I began. Is like, you know, very early on, I recognized that parallel and saw that, you know, this is a modern day Dust Bowl that needed to be documented. So, but the like you're correct in that the depth of the history here is just so many times beyond that. The Mixteca is one of these foundational cultures of Mesoamerica. It's not as, you know, well known as the Aztecs or the Maya, but the history actually extends even further. The Mixtecs have the oldest written history in the Americas. It's older than the Aztecs, older than the Maya, older than the Incas. Dates back over 1,000 years. And this area is also the birthplace of corn. This is where corn was first planted. So we're talking about thousands and thousands of years of human history. And to watch that kind of essentially evaporate, you know, over the course of less than a generation has been, you know, incredible to see.
I suppose particularly incredible in light of what the Mixteca managed to survive historically.
Absolutely.
The Spanish invasion and before that, the Aztecs, and I don't know what else. You may know some other.
Yeah, the Mixtecs were one of the few groups to successfully kind of resist the Aztecs' power. And, of course, they also successfully resisted or prevented the complete infiltration of the Spanish. So, yeah, and the fact that, you know, however we define what's the main historical forces of this era, mm-hmm. I guess the shorthand would be globalization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, globalization is doing what the Aztecs and the Spanish couldn't,
right.
Which was, you know,
forces
that are too powerful to resist. So.
Yeah, and in the context of globalization, you're talking about the new technology and farming, the technology in farming that they had eschewed over the years and now are being forced to embrace.
Right, just the forces of modernization across the board, I guess, would be the way to put it best. From, you know, the changes in farming technology to you know, all of these things, roads, cars, television, radio. Modern life coming in. So
are you? What are you trying to do through the work? Are you trying to do more than just keep a record of the end of a very proud people, or is there something else? Do you have another agenda?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's easy for a photographer or you know, a filmmaker or a writer or anything to, you know, easily inflate their goals and what is possible, you know. But I come at this from a kind of a very modest perspective of what I can do, you know, with my work, which is A, witness, you know, this thing, record, document it, and B, you know, through that process, hopefully explain and tell people, you know, particularly from kind of, you know, the U.S. side, who migrants are nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and why are they coming. I mean, that's you know, it's a very simple goal, but that's the goal I'm trying to reach, is simply to explain and put a face on these really, you know, faceless people, because they are. You know, there's just countless examples of problems, particularly in California, where, you know, so many of these migrants are now coming, of, you know, people just not understanding literally, you know, who these are. Who are these people who, you know, appear to be Mexicans but don't speak Spanish? What do we do with them when they come to the emergency room? What do we do with them when their kids go to school? All these kind of things. And, you know, I see that as a role that this work can play, is to literally, you know, try to tell the story of where these people are coming from and why.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I assume this is your first trip to Telluride for Mountain Film.
It is.
Okay, so what are you looking forward to most about
this? Oh, it seems great. I mean, it seems wonderful. It seems like kind of the group of people that understand, you know, the urge to do this work and why it's important and, you know, all those things. So I'm looking forward to some great encounters and conversations and all those great things.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Matt. This has been Susan Seabrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking to Matt Black. Don't miss his series, After the Fall, part of the story of the people of the clouds. It's on display at La Cocina de Luz throughout Memorial Weekend for Mountain Film and Telluride. Matt, again, thanks.
Thank you.